Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
I was getting angry at my mouse not working, and I forgot to have an opening line. So,
Pearl
here's
Harbor.
Pearl Harbor.
Yay! 3 hours of Pearl Harbor.
3 hours of Pearl Harbor. I am hungover as hell, despite it being 2:15 p.m. with my iced coffee that I'm going to be slamming.
Oh, I'm so jealous. It's too late here for a coffee, so I have peppermint tea.
Ooh, I love peppermint. That's why I was
my little bedtime drink.
There you go. That's why I was 5 minutes late to the recording today. Was as I was making the coffee, I was like, iced coffee.
Because it's warmer, you are now,
it's
right?
It's so goddamn hot, and I just took a shower, so it's even like hotter in here, and so it's getting hot in here. So
don't take your clothes off.
don't take them off. All right, yes, we are here. Michael Bay,
Yay!
Pearl Harbor, 2001. Here on the Path History Month. Make sure you stick around to the end of the episode. Find out what we are doing next week. It is a doozy of an actor and a writer who we've previously covered.
Oh,
so
yes.
There's your little tease. So again, stick around to the end of that. It also may have to do with the date that it will be pretty much released on. Although I've noticed I've started putting these out late Thursday night and not actually Friday.
Have
so
you?
I kind of have because I used to do it overnight and then I just kind of did it. So I'm like, we're pretty much doing it now. But pretty much by the time people wake up or listen to it, it'll be
exactly.
That Friday. So
yeah.
It'll be all right then. Make sure to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/onthepath. This month was not history. We pivoted, called an audible at the last minute for Get Him to the Greek due to Diddy and a bunch of problematic men. And there is a big time problematic man in Pearl Harbor.
Oh?
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Who's that? Which one's
he's,
that?
He's the black guy in the movie.
Oh,
not George
okay.
That helped
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
yeah. His character is based on a real. I actually call him Doris Miller in there. So that was like a guy that actually existed. But yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr., he gets a little rapey, handsy, assaulty. Maybe not rapey, I shouldn't say, but he is like big time.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, which is funny too, because a local radio station around here, the Cowboys football team, the training camp is over in Oxnard, California, and they would always go to Los Angeles. And they saw him at a bar one time, and this was years ago. I don't know if it was like 10 years ago, probably more than 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. And they noted like how creepy he was to women in this bar. I know. And then all of this stuff's coming out, and it's like, wow, that was like a firsthand knowledge of random people who saw that.
Yeah, like you actually see it happening and it's not just
Yeah,
hearing it on the
and then you hear
news
later
or
like,
word of
oh
mouth.
shit, I saw that. All right, so yes,
Oh, how disappointing.
yeah, a lot of problematic men and a problematic woman in Get Into the Greek. So make sure to check that out on Patreon with all the extra other stuff there. Initially, we were going to do Gladiator, so some people may have not, may hear episodes. I think I cut out where I said we were going to do Gladiator. I think it was in the
Oh,
last
okay.
episode. I think I cut it out. I was able to excise it, but we were going
Yeah.
to do Gladiator in there. But who knows? We may do that one later this month or sometime again with the Russell Crowe month. Check out all the links and everything below. All right, let's get on with guessing the gross. Okay, so we are 2001, and contrary, I think I said last week that I think this was released after 9/11. Well, there you go. So again, finish the shot right there, or
Finish
finish
your
the
drink,
drink, which I
everyone.
was going to bring it up anyway, because the attack on Pearl Harbor was the most American deaths, like on American soil. Now, it wasn't a state at the time. Hawaii was not a state, but it was the most American deaths on American soil until 9/11.
Oh, wow.
Now it's 9/11 at like a little over 3,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor was like 2,400, 25, 26 or something like that. So as crazy as this attack was, like more people died in 9/11 than this over 1 hour attack on a military
Oh
installation.
God, I think I messaged you earlier. Like, I don't know what was going on in my head, but I watched this film at 7 o'clock this morning and I just sobbed all the way through the attack scene. And yeah, I mean, we'll get into it later, but I don't know. It was just way too real for me.
Yes, we will definitely get into it, because I had not seen this movie. I saw it on release day without question. Like, it
Yeah.
wasn't even like a Michael Bay thing at the time. It was just I was 17 and it was Pearl Harbor. And then it was the director of The Rock. So I'm like, okay, that's fucking perfect for a 17-year-old guy
Yeah.
to do it. And I remember hating it because of this fucking love story. That's what I should have led off with. What I said before, I've said it time and time again that this movie had me like rooting for the Japanese, because these characters, we're getting into the movie. We're in Guess the Gross. I'm sorry. Again, I'm hungover, so my mind is fucking like everywhere and nowhere at once. All right. So released in May of 2001, a budget of 140 million, which again,
Wow.
2001, crazy. I think this had the most explosives ever used. It used some
Yeah.
kind of very cutting edge CGI. So 140 million back in 2001. What do you think this grossed?
I feel like it probably did really well. People would have been excited about it. It's only Michael Bay's like fourth film, but the three before it did really well. He did Bad Boys, The Rock, and Armageddon before this. So it was like three really well-received popular films. I feel like this probably would have got like 500 mil.
Very good, very good. It was
Oh yeah.
449 million.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah,
I'll
no,
take that. I'll take that.
it's a good guess, because you're right. Something like this, who knows what it could be like? There weren't really billion-dollar movies at this time. Like
No.
Star Wars, like approached it, and Titanic, obviously, was the king at this time here. Which this movie tried to be Titanic. Like it wanted to be
Oh yeah.
Titanic.
Yeah, it has the it's like the real life tragedy with a love story woven in.
And
That's it.
I think the problem is with Titanic, it was a tragedy in the sense that there was no bad guy. Like, I know the movie
Yeah.
tried to make the villain that one guy that's like, no, full speed ahead, blah, 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 which I think was wholly inaccurate. It was they hit a fucking iceberg. They were
Yeah.
overconfident and they hit a fucking iceberg and a bunch of people drown. Like, this was a military attack, a
Yeah.
purposeful military attack. And like, it was real. Like, and the Titanic was absolutely real. But it was like people drowning. It's very different to me, that kind of tragedy in an actual attack that
Yeah.
happened, like Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, I think that's why I find it so difficult to watch. Like when you throughout the film where it like weaves in and out of watching the Japanese plan the surprise attack, like I feel like I've seen this film before, but this is definitely the first time I've ever sat down and like intently watched it all the way through. And it was just so horrific. And like they really, you can see them trying to make you like anti-Japan.
Oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, oh yeah, Japan is evil. That's like, okay, right.
And Japan and J Japan absolutely was evil. Like
Yes.
I
Yeah.
like the stuff that they did, and I was gonna get into it later, but we can kind of now. Like, this was an attack by the Imperial Japanese Navy, and the main guy, actor Mako or Mako, I don't know how to say it, RIP, playing Isoroku Yamamoto. Like, that guy was educated at Harvard. He was fluent in English, spent a lot of time in the United States.
Oh,
He
wow.
never wanted to go to war with the United States. He didn't want to invade China. He didn't want to engage in or enter the tripartite pact with Italy and Germany. He was opposed to like Japanese fascism and like ultra expansionism. But the army, on the other hand, were fucking monsters, absolutely on par with what the Germans did. Now, outside of the Holocaust, which was special in that case, the Japanese would just fucking murder everybody on site. Like, there wasn't even like the workers' camps that they would do, because so much of the Holocaust wasn't just death camps, it was worker camp, labor camps, like to
Right.
exploit that. Japanese just, we're gonna fucking kill everybody in the most horrific way. And this is the title of like the incident, the Rape of Nanking or Nanjing. It's go look at what the fuck they did, because it wasn't just we're gonna shoot people, it was burying alive. It was forcing people to kill other, like own people. Like, it was the most horrific shit, but so much of it is concentrated on the Germans because of the Holocaust that it's like, let's
Right.
not forget that the Japanese were absolute fucking monsters.
I think I knew so little about it because probably like partway through this film,
Let
I
me clarify
was.
real quick. Sorry. The Japanese army. And that not Japanese people, the not the Japan, it's the Japanese war machine and the
At the
army,
time,
military,
yes.
and government. There you go. It clicked right when you were talking. I was like, I gotta clarify. I gotta clarify.
Let me
Okay,
just
sorry. Sorry. Go
backtrack for
ahead.
a second. But yeah, I went in probably like 30, 45 minutes into this film, or I don't remember exactly when, I was like, why are Japan doing this? I don't understand why. And like, I had to Google it. I was like, why? And then it was one of the top searches. Like, why the fuck did Japan do
What
this?
okay, what'd you get? What'd you find?
I found that they did it as oh, the word escapes me, like a
Embargo?
preventative thing. They
Yeah.
wanted to be friends. America asked them to be like allies, and they then wanted it to be like a preventative thing. So they just completely fucked them up.
So you didn't see anything about oil or the oil embargo?
No,
See,
no.
that's the thing, like, and so coincidentally enough, in world history right now, we're reviewing everything for the state test. And last week we happened to be World War II. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go over some things and I'm gonna put on the battle scene here. And I'm gonna
Wow.
tell the kids this is why it happened. This is it. No, this was accurate. This was not. And the thing that it doesn't show here, and it's the number one thing to take away, was the United States had an oil embargo on Japan. Like, they had lost, I've seen numbers up to like 95% of their oil. They were restricted from, and they weren't having. You have to have an oil for a war machine. They were going to run out of oil unless we were going to lift that embargo. We were never lifting that embargo. That's what this attack was. The attack was to knock out the Pacific Fleet and then immediately sue for peace, to be like, threaten, hey, we're going to keep invading or we're going to keep attacking, or give us the oil, stop that embargo. But the catch 22 was, and Yamamoto actually said this, was by attacking them, a sneak attack, they're never going to agree to a peace. And
Of course, yeah.
because he studied in the United States and was with these attachés, he knew the manufacturing ability of the United States. And he's actually on record saying, if we get in a prolonged war, we will lose. Now, he never got to see it come to fruition because the United States basically ordered an assassination on his plane and he was shot down, I think in 43 or 44.
Oh,
I think it might have been
shit.
43. And he died. Yeah.
Yeah,
But that's
I
the
did
main
like
reason why.
that. Oh, see, that didn't come up at all,
Yeah, and they're
at
making it
all.
seem like, oh,
No.
this is just, they were territorial 100%. But it wasn't just like, oh, we have to expand. We're going to go attack the big United States. Like, it wasn't a dumbass thing like Germany did to the Soviet Union, where it was like an ideological thing where they want land. This was a military attack, a purposeful one. It was just stupid.
Yeah, I read as well that they didn't attack the hospital in real life.
Yep.
That
And
was just completely made up for the movie to make the stakes higher for
yeah,
our female protagonist.
to make you hate the Japanese as well. And that's a big
Yeah.
thing. And I stopped that down, especially. And I'm like, there were some like collateral damage of it. But again, Yamamoto explicitly said, do not attack civilian targets, attack military targets. Now, that was, again, stark contrast to the army. The army would go in and they fucking kill everybody. Like, the army didn't give
Yeah.
a shit. But him under the Navy, like, the Navy did not operate like that. And so that's kind of the thing is the Japanese war machine, with, again, these ultra-nationalist fascist monsters. But that distinction between the army and the navy does need to be stated. And by that's the kind of stuff that I have issue with in these movies. And I tell everybody is, if you see a historical movie and it interests you, just take everything, go look it up on your own. Because something like that is a big deal. Because it's like, hey, you're bombing a hospital. That's obviously a violation of war, even back then, to do. And it's like they sneak attacked the military. Like, that's bad enough. You don't need to have them machine gunning nurses and women and then explicitly bombing the hospital.
Yeah, that's when I thought, that's what I actually noted down. I was like, did that really happen? Because that seems really bad. Like, this
Really
is all
bad.
horrific, but this has just really kicked it up a
It,
notch.
but it, and it really does. Like, it was, attacking, but it's still a military installation. And this is where imperialism, American imperialism, and American colonialism runs up against somebody else's. And so when we talk about like the innocent of it there, and I'm a product of it, I was born 12-minute drive from Pearl Harbor at Kapi'olani Hospital, where Obama was born also. He's a bigger name than me. I know. It was always me. I was always the biggest name there, and now it's President Obama. But like, I'm a product of it. My dad was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base, which is right there. And so, like, I get it. And like, to me, that's another conversation to have is why are we in Hawaii in the middle of the fucking ocean? Was because we wanted to be able to trade and have a presence in the Pacific in case something like this happened. So we weren't, this was not some innocent America in California, just minding our own business. Like, this is imperialism against imperialism.
I mean, I have so many notes and like there's lots of question marks throughout this whole thing that I was like, legit or not legit, but I
Okay.
guess we'll get through as we go.
Yeah, we'll get through as we go. And that's another thing too. This movie's so goddamn long that we're
3
not
hours, man.
remotely going to go like scene by scene or even go through that. We're gonna go to big chunks of it. But as you can see, we're kind of getting into it already. Let's do the tomato tomato meter. We
Yes, we
gotta
do need to do this one.
Okay.
Because this is funny, okay? So, considering something you've already said, this is what the critics had to say about Pearl
Okay.
Harbor. Pearl Harbor tries to be the Titanic of war movies, but it's just a tedious romance filled with laughably bad dialogue. I feel like you wrote this. The 40-minute action sequence is spectacular,
Yeah, okay, there you go. And that goes into, we did have listener Lawrence wrote in, had a little bit of review. He said, Pearl Harbor is an okay movie with some of the most terrible one-liners I've heard in a war
though.
movie, but it's still somehow highly quotable. And it hits exactly what you said. There were so many moments, especially the first hour or so, I'd say. It is just the most cringeworthy, eye-rolling dialogue. Oh my God, it is so fucking bad. This was written by Randall Wallace,
Okay.
who
What has
wrote
he done?
Braveheart.
No.
This is the Oscar-winning writer. I believe he won an Oscar for that, right? He won an Oscar for Braveheart. For right, did he get it for writing? I can't remember. I
Possibly.
know he wrote Braveheart though. And so
That's
this is,
amazing.
I know, and I was waiting for you because you love Braveheart in that. And so I was waiting to be like, and I actually misspoke. Next week, I got Randall Wallace confused with that movie and this one. Next week's movie does not involve a writer we've done. It's just an actor
Oh, okay. Okay. I know what you're talking about. I'm
who
trying
may
not to.
who may be tied to Braveheart. That
Also,
would,
yeah.
I think keen listeners would have put that together. That as soon as I bring up Braveheart, I'm like, wait a minute, it wasn't Randall Wallace, but Randall Wallace wrote this. So it's Michael Bay, which his after The Rock was very well reviewed. Armageddon was not, from what I remember. That was just very fan-like. I'm gonna
Yes.
say that this was. Because it was, I'm going to say 45.
From the critics?
You know what? I'm going to go with the very 19. I'm going to go with the very Pearl Harbor score of 41. I'll say 41.
Okay. I was very shocked by this.
Was it
Critics
higher?
rated this at
Oh, okay.
24%.
No, I can. Yeah, I get that. That's
Big green splat.
that's very low. But again, Michael Bay at this time, post Armageddon. He was a critic's, he was the opposite of a critic's darling. Whatever you want to call a critic darling, he's the opposite of it. And this, I do remember it being, because it was Michael Bay handling Pearl Harbor. Again, one of the most sacrosanct, that's probably not the correct word. I can't think of the word, but it's like 9/11, okay? Where it's like, these are these like holy holidays. I'm so fucking hungover. I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying, but you get what I'm saying.
They're like big events that would
A
need to be treated with
There
care.
you go. An event that would be need to be treated with respect, not the Michael Bay-ization of it.
That's so funny. Like I was watching a few videos before we recorded, and obviously we don't know what's true and what isn't, but the Michael Bayization really could have been that it ended up with them winning in this film. Apparently he wanted to make them win. And if somebody was like, absolutely, we cannot do that, but we can include the Tokyo Raid at the end so it ends on a somewhat win.
That absolutely, when you sent that to me this morning, I was beside myself at Michael Bay trying to be like, can they win? Or let's make them win. They're like, no, this was an event that actually happened. And the whole point of it was a punch in the mouth to America that it was a sneak attack, and it put America on the defensive for 6 months, 6 to 8 months or whatever it was. Like, you can't win Pearl Harbor. Like, what are you talking about?
And that is why we got the whole last hour of the movie where they go to Tokyo.
Yes.
Maybe if they had to just let him win, this would have been a nice 2 hours.
And I do remember that. I remember it from the get-go of people complaining about, and I remember it now, me complaining, when the Pearl Harbor attack is done, there's an hour left. And then
Yeah.
the buildup and the Michael Bay bloat is right here. Like, I
Yeah.
don't even know. I haven't seen Armageddon in forever. There may be some bloat in that, but no more than did it start right here in Pearl Harbor, where the lead up to it, we did not need a montage, a training montage to get these planes off the aircraft carrier at the
No.
2 hour and 20 minute mark.
Like they could have just done that. We would have, nobody would have been like, well, how did they get off the aircraft? Like, we don't need the whole training scene. We don't need this whole new storyline that she's pregnant
Oh,
and
dude,
he's not going
that
to come back. Like, it's so dumb.
explaining the love triangle to people that had not seen this movie, where it's like guy A goes over to fight, he's dead, and then guy B, his best friend, gets with his woman, but then guy A comes back and he's not actually dead. They're upset, and then guy A and B go off to fight. The guy who stayed gets killed, but now he's impregnated with the
By
old
the guy
girl,
that's dead.
and then they're together at the end, and it's just like that was really convoluted for
Yes, this is
for
really
Pearl
fucked
Harbor.
up. I just wrote this is like the most, like so much trauma bonding in one movie.
Yeah, and
Like,
I think I said it last week also that Roger Ebert, the great critic Roger Ebert, said that Pearl Harbor was like a 3 hour movie about the Japanese attack on an American love triangle.
yeah,
I'm like,
it's the only people we care about at this
that is
point
so
in
much
this
more accurate.
movie.
Okay, 20, we say 24%, is that what we said?
24, yeah, that's probably
24.
the lowest we've had since Bad Movie Month.
Man, it might be. All right, what about those
The
viewers, the
audience,
audience?
yeah.
Yeah.
So the audience, let me see how many reviews they've got. Over 250,000 reviews for
I'm going to
this.
say that this is at 62. How about that?
Ooh, pretty close, pretty close. It's
Okay.
66.
Oh, I'll take it. I will take that one of these
Yeah.
days. One of these days.
The audience thought it was all right.
Yeah, I figured it'd be something in there because I can't imagine an audience score of a non-Disney movie being like 20 something or
Yeah.
non-woke attack, review bombing type thing.
Exactly.
For it to be. But all right, let's get into as much of this as we kind of can before my brain fully oozes out of my ears. As you mentioned, directed by Michael Bay, written by Rendell Wallace. Very big change in the reception of this movie and Braveheart for little Randall Wallace there. So it starts off with them as kids. Great shooting, Danny. Great shooting, Rafe. In the
In Tennessee.
land of the free, home of the brave. And already, I'm like, I want to just jump out of a plane with this
It's
fucking
like
dialogue.
it's so bad. I've been playing a lot of Mass Effect, and they talk a lot about indoctrination in Mass Effect, and I'm just like, oh wow,
Oh
these kids have
man.
been indoctrinated from a young age.
Dude,
Not to see it.
and like I said, this was pre-9/11. Like, if this
Yeah.
movie would have came out in December of 2001 to correspond with the Pearl Harbor attack, wait, did I say, holy shit, did I say earlier, did I say 41 or 42 for my
You said
guess?
41.
Okay, thank God. I thought I said 42. I was
No,
like,
you said
no,
41. I checked.
why did this not come out in December of
December
2000, the
7th.
60th anniversary? Why? Like, I
Yeah.
know it's a blockbuster and they want a summer blockbuster, but
Yeah.
it's like, why do you not correspond it with the 60th anniversary? And this would have came out 3 months after 9/11, as rah-rah patriotic as is. You kidding me? Instantly,
People would
this
have
would have had
lapped that
another.
shit up.
It would have had another $200 million, easy.
For sure, for sure. But yeah, I reckon Michael Bay just wants summer blockbusters all the time.
The studio as well. And I saw where him. I don't shit. I don't think it was. Maybe it's, I don't think it was Randall Wallace. Him and maybe as a producer as well as like the main star. So I assume that means Beckinsale, Hartnett, and Affleck all took less money up front for profit. So good on them.
Wow.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah, and th
Interesting.
this is also Michael Bay and Ben Affleck. I can only say like Ben Affleck like that. I can't say Affleck anymore. I don't know where I heard that, but Ben Affleck and Michael Bay, they were on Armageddon. So it's they're
Oh
back
yeah, of
together.
course.
And
Yeah. Oh, I do quite like Armageddon.
I do too. Like, it's a
Yeah.
stupid ass movie, but it's stupid ass Michael Bay 98. Like, as he's
Gets you in the
approaching, oh,
feels.
it's so, it has the dumbest shit in there. What was it? Space Dementia. Oh my
Yeah.
God. And then obviously the most legendary commentary of all time, where on the commentary, Ben Affleck is just shitting. I see, I said Affleck instead of Fleck, is like kind of shitting on it. And he says a story where he says what everybody says. Wouldn't it be easier to train astronauts to drill than drillers to be astronauts? And Michael Bay's legendary response was, "Shut the fuck up, Ben."
I need to, you know,
Just gonna shut the fuck up, Ben.
I need to watch. I don't think there is that many Michael Bay interviews. I don't think he speaks to press that much ever. Because I just feel like I've never really seen much of him, and I want to see
Yeah,
more
maybe.
Michael Bay Bayhemisms.
Yes.
Because he just, every time you hear someone speak about him, he just sounds
Oh.
absolutely wild. Like when Megan Fox talks about him, he
Yeah.
sounds weird as hell.
The thing with TJ Miller on Transformers, where he's like, be funny,
Yeah.
be funny. And then he kills him off because he's not funny. He changes the script
Love it. It's so stupid.
because he's not funny. God damn. God damn. Okay. Oh, man. All right. Where were we talking? Oh, yeah. The kids there. William
Oh, yeah.
Fichtner, the great William Fichtner, is here. He's the abusive dad here, the PTSD dad. I guess he wasn't
Yeah.
abusive. He didn't. Oh, he hit him. Never mind. He
He
did hit
did
him.
hit him. Yeah, it wasn't very nice.
But these fucking Tennessee accents. I fought the Germans in France on the trenches. I hope you never get to see. And I'm just like, what are you doing, movie? Be more of a fucking cartoon character.
I know, and they're out in the fields in the barn, and it's just so cliche, isn't it?
God, but the voices is just too goddamn much. Too much in there.
Too
All
much.
right, so now after that, I have Fade to Hitler, because it literally fades to black, this newsreel of Hitler. And America refused to join the fight. And hey, ain't our problem, bruh. That's some Euro trash shit. Y'all handle it, Britain.
Yep, it's our problem for now.
It's y'all's problem for now. That was a great Robot Chicken sketch of this, of like having kids in a classroom and they had like the countries labeled and it was like Lil Hitler. Lil Hitler. And it's like, mein teacher, I want that table. And it's like the French table. I want that table too. And they go to like America, and like, America, what do you do? It's like, hey, not our problem. His head's kicked back, and like something gets bumped. Oh, a Japanese table like bumps over his drink, and he goes, oh, okay, now our problem. Like, that's so
Oh
fucking good.
God.
I know, I need to find that again, but it's like this little shithead kid is like, not our problem. That's America. It also should be stated that there's a huge conspiracy theory that it's not really credible at all, but it's has maintained it. That Roosevelt, in particular, President Roosevelt, allowed this attack to occur because, as they show in this movie, all of this stuff diverting, the fleet, pretty much putting the Pacific Fleet out in there, because Roosevelt wanted to get in the war, 100%. Roosevelt
Ah,
wanted
so
to
he
get in the
needed a
war,
reason.
and we were in the war with the Lend-Lease Act of giving a ton of materials, tanks, and everything to the British and to the Soviets as well. Like, we were absolutely involved in it. In everything but actual hot fighting.
Yeah. So it was because I read somewhere that when Ben Affleck's character gets sent to fight for the British, someone was like, that was just not allowed. You're not allowed to do that, apparently.
Did you watch that video, didn't you?
Which video?
Did you watch a YouTube video that said that?
I watched a YouTube video, but I can't remember. I watched a
Okay.
few YouTube
I watched that video. It's the only one that I looked up to see. And that said that that
videos.
wasn't allowed. Here's the thing. That thing that he does in here, Eagle Squadron, was 100% a real thing.
Okay.
So
So it's part of the RAF.
it was American volunteers that got to
Oh,
go
cool.
over there and fight. It was called Eagle Squadrons. That's what pissed me off about that fucking YouTube channel was you just Google search it and there's a whole bunch of shit in there. And it shows the people that like put it together.
How weird.
That was infuriating because it was a history website. And then I look in the comments and like almost nobody said, there's one out of every like 30 comments was like, hey, this was actually a thing. It's called the fucking Eagle Squadrons.
Oh,
It's
we need
so,
to go get him in the comments.
but that's the thing. Like, if you're going to put yourself off as a history channel, I get mistakes can always be made in history. I will make them. Okay. But something as big as that should not be fucking made on your historical channel.
Yeah, I think you can get away with it if you're just like me, just quoting things you see on YouTube.
Yeah,
But not if you're a historian.
it like to, yes, because I remember I was like being like, oh, okay, wait, no, that was a thing. And that was so like the first three members of this guy, Vernon, Keough, Andrew Mammadov, Eugene Tobin, all three of them were killed in action before,
And
like, yeah, before they
it's
got
interesting
like
they
in.
were volunteered.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean?
So they volunteered, they weren't sent there, they
No, it
weren't
was
like stationed there,
pure
it's all
volunteers,
volunteering.
like Ben Affleck in the movie. Like that shit
Yeah,
was
yeah.
accurate. Like Americans got to volunteer, and these three that did it were all killed in action before the U.S. got into war.
Oh,
Yeah, like it's
sorry
a
for the
real thing.
rough.
But to me, like that's something where it's goddamn. It's one of the cheesiest lines in the movie, where Doolittle, played by fucking Alec Baldwin, the character of Jimmy Doolittle, James Doolittle, real life person, became a brigadier general after the Tokyo raid. It was Doolittle's raid. When he's looking up, being like, we're gonna win this war. Oh, why do you think that? Because of those men there, heart of a volunteer. I'm just like, oh my fucking God. Like,
I
I
know,
can't
so
do this.
cringy.
It's
He was like,
so
I see them,
cheesy.
I feel hope. I was
I
like,
see them, the heart of a
no.
volunteer. How about when Ben Affleck is over there? Right. We should call his name Rafe. Okay, we'll call him Rafe. We keep saying Ben Affleck, Rafe, the character Rafe is over there and he's riding back to his girl. And that just most British guy comes up and he's like, well, I'll tell you what, if all the Americans fight, or all the Yanks fight as you do, I pity anybody going to war against the Americans. I'm like,
I
oh my
know, it's
God.
like
Michael Bay,
that's no
suck.
British man would say this.
Could you imagine a Brit at that time? The British would be like, hey, are you riding back to tell those fucking Americans to get in the goddamn war? That's what he should
And
be
it's so
saying.
embarrassing. I was just like, you sold out, man.
You
That is not a
God.
British man right there.
You Yanks, I fear anybody going to war with the Americans. Like, holy shit, Michael Bay jacking and sucking off the military
Know
more
he
than
really does.
ever. But this is the worst. Like,
This
this
is
is the
out of hand,
out
completely out of
of
hand.
hand. All right. So yes, the whole Eagle Squadron thing, that was big time thing. Americans going over. Okay. The Doolittle's office, Alec Baldwin, this character is a cartoon. I know I said the dad was a cartoon. He's the most cliched. And I think I never watched 30 Rock, but I feel like Alec Baldwin's character from that kind of was based like a little bit on this of just being so
Oh,
cocky,
really? I've
so
never watched
quick.
it either.
Yeah, but it just seems like what it is. So yeah, Eagle Squadron going in there. Okay, here we go. Here we go. These fucking nurses, these giggly schoolgirls. How
Girls,
many times do they
they've
giggle?
joined the Navy just to meet cute guys, and they're off on a night out in the town to meet cute guys.
To me, that's all it is. And they get to go to Hawaii and oh, there's enough here. And just, oh my God. I was offended, not even as
They
a
are
woman.
insufferable.
They
They
are
are kind of
insufferable
insufferable.
to, again, when they were getting shot at by the Japanese and
You're
finally,
rooting for them.
and then find, well, because then Betty and Red, the two most insufferable probably characters to me, that's, oh my God, the fucking stutter. That
Yeah, I
dude.
didn't see the point in that. Unless it was like
It was
some
comic
reference that
relief.
I don't,
No, it
I don't
was.
know why there should be. That seems like such a Michael Bay thing to
Oh,
do, to have your
completely.
comic
Totally.
relief be a guy with a stutter.
Your comic relief is going to be a disability or a black woman or a loud, sassy black woman, like which Bad Boys 2 has a ton of.
Yes, but Bad
Yeah.
Boys 2 is so bad for that.
But this, like, and it goes to with the attack on. I thought the attack was actually really well done, like showing
Oh
it,
my
the
God,
action and
yeah.
everything. But when fucking Red gets there and he's like, and he's like,
Oh, I hated
he's
that.
about to like shit himself, it looks like he's like so like mentally constipated, and he's trying to yell that the Japanese are here, although he shortens it in that term. I'm like, why? We're in the middle of an attack. It's supposed to be somber and solemn. Now we're about to see Americans get their fucking shit kicked and wiped to the floor. Why are we putting in this, like, is this supposed to be funny?
I
Like,
know. I
what
didn't
was the
know if it was
point?
supposed to be funny because then they start, saying to him, "Oh, shut up, Red," And I was like, this is not the time for your
This
comic relief, Michael Bay.
is not it. Like, am I supposed to be like, oh, ha-ha. Oh, they're getting shot at. Okay,
Oh,
indeed, indeed. This is solemn.
the girls are
Yeah.
running out.
The editor's like, okay, do we show the sailors drowning like before or after this hilarious fucking moment?
This pure
This
comedy.
comedy, this is so goddamn funny. We have to have it in there. Oh, so the Navy soldier's drowning to death. That'll be in 20 seconds, 40 seconds, Michael. What is it?
The ship's exploding. Should we do that
Yeah, what do you
now
want?
or
Yeah, the USS Arizona, is that gonna go now or after? All right. So then they have this eye exam. She's telling the story about how she meets Rafe. What the? I don't even remember her goddamn name. Kate Beckinsale.
Evelyn.
Evelyn. Okay.
Kate Beckinsale, also from Van Helsing.
Van Helsing. She's terrible, right? Like, she's obviously gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's a terrible actress, isn't she?
She's beautiful.
Stunning. You know
That's all
what?
I.
Her and Josh Hartnett belong together because they're both so impossibly good looking, but they're bad.
It's just
They're
very.
bad.
I don't know. In moments, like in the hospital, I thought she was good. But then during like the dialogue scenes, I was just like, eh.
I thought she was good, but then when she had to speak, I thought she wasn't very good.
In that really high tense moment where she's like trying to sort the doctors out, trying to sort the patients out, I thought she was really good
Okay.
in those moments.
Yes. There were times, though, when she was yelling that it was just, okay, that sounds like an alien trying to do an American. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can
What
tell, like, that is not her natural accent.
is her accent? Is she
Oh,
British?
she's English. Yeah, straight
Oh,
up.
is she? Oh, okay.
Yeah, for some reason,
Good.
like, Kensington comes to mind. For some reason, I think it's something like a London, somewhere around there.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, she's definitely English. All right. So we get to this eye exam and. At first, I was like, holy shit, is he illiterate? But he's just dyslexic.
Yes, I got that
Yeah.
too, because he's reading letters, but he's mixing them up and stuff.
Because he
And
was.
so they try and make this big moment out of this eye exam where he's like, he delivers this big speech. And I was like, this movie, why are we doing this already?
Movie, get to the goddamn attack. It's called Pearl Harbor. Why are we doing this? Okay, but he breaks his nose because he ends up getting two of this vaccine or whatever. And then he doesn't chase her down. He kind of lovingly stalks her, follows her, has a bottle of champagne, and oh my God, the cork hitting him in the nose, it hurts me to even think about right now.
I know it was grim, and he looks like he's in so much pain. I don't know how they do that with
The
like
eyes
makeup or whatever,
watering,
but the eyes
yes.
are going. His face looks like it's taut and
Yeah.
red and
He's like, I'm
so
fine.
painful.
Oh.
And yeah, but obviously he uses it as a way to lie down in Evelyn's lap.
Do you have down what he says?
Oh no, I don't. What did he
Because
say?
I basically passed out. My soul left my fucking body before
Oh
I could
my
punch my
God.
screen. You are so beautiful, it hurts.
Oh,
Her,
okay.
it's your nose that hurts. Him, no, I think it's my heart. And I went to punch the screen and
I'm
just
dead. I'm
passed
dead
out for
now.
about 20 minutes from this fucking line.
The thing is, though, you wouldn't miss much in that 20 minutes.
No, I think I would have skipped it anyway. But the next thing I have down is Red has a stutter, which is just knee slapping hearty fucking har. All the uncles and goddamn are just knee slapping it up.
Yeah, it's so unnecessary. I just hate it. I hate that so much. And I thought when we first met him, I was like, how are they going to bring this back around? Like, how is it going to become relevant to the story, if at all? And then the only time it does is that moment where he can't tell his squad mates
Yep,
that
because they make
the
a point.
Japanese are here.
Yes, because they make a point that it's like, oh, do you always have that stutter? He's like, no, just when I'm nervous. And I'm like, is this trying to be good screenwriting? And it's like a Chekhov
A
stutter
call.
where in
Yeah.
like an hour he's going to be trying to hide something. But he's like stuttering. And it's like, no, Michael Bay is just trying to make it fucking funny. But this is one of those things. Because I remember, ha not Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison back in the mid-90s, a stutter used to be used as like comedy.
Yeah.
And now again, it's one of those things where it's just. Yeah, that's actually like I don't know if it could be like a disability, but it's like a speech impediment,
Impediment,
speech
yeah.
impediment that's just like, yeah, it's actually kind of people struggle with that they can like get made fun of for that maybe we shouldn't laugh about it, you know?
Yeah. One of my favorite pieces of television still is this really, I don't know if you guys, you definitely won't have our version of the show, but it's called like Educating Yorkshire. And it was like a reality TV show where they set up cameras in a school for like a whole school year. And it was just, following the lives of some kids and teachers. And there was one kid who had a stutter. And it's like I could cry watching his little story on this show because his teacher like takes a real interest in helping him get over it and does the same thing that he heard about in the King's Speech.
That's where you've told this
Yeah,
before because
I
it was
think
me
I've told
talking
you
about the King's
before.
speech, and I was like,
Yeah. And he like listens to music and then he
yeah.
delivers this speech, word perfect. And the teacher's like in awe and everyone's crying. And then at the end of the year, he delivers a speech to his whole school and everyone
Really?
claps and it's so sweet. And I just think it's just the loveliest story.
That's why you like the King's Speech. I
I've
think
never
that's
seen it.
okay. I know that's what we talked about because I said it's just I think I have that down as the most boring movie that I would never watch. And I think you
Yeah.
brought it up there. But yeah, no, something like that. Now we know again, 2024. Let's not make fun of speech disabilities, speech impediments that people cannot control. Let's just not use that for laughs. Let's
I
write
know, it's
jokes.
horrific. It's like people who like make fun of Tourette's and stuff as well.
Yeah,
I
and
hate
that's yeah,
that.
and that's yeah, it's
In
because
the
like
same vein.
and that's thing inherently though. And that's, I think to get into that, and maybe I'm stepping in the minefield, is inherently it's almost like funny because when people misspeak, when I misspeak in here, and at times
Yeah.
when I say something or do something like that, it's funny, but it's different when it's involuntary and someone
Yeah.
can't control it, and when it's just a misspeak from somebody who, you know, does not have a speech impediment.
Yeah, if it's something that's ongoing and like really can wear someone
Yeah.
down, I think it becomes a different thing.
I wish the Japanese would have fucking killed Red and gotten that goddamn guy out of here. Well, they all decide to pair off and bang, but dipshit Rafe decides to not say anything about him volunteering to go fight in Europe, and he's leaving the next fucking day.
Why are men like this? Why would he
Because
not think to say anything?
why would that not, you, my God, because they make it seem like they're together for at least weeks, if not
Yeah.
months.
Yeah, it seems like I did write the dates down somewhere because it did bring the
Oh, it
dates up
did?
every now and then on
Okay.
the screen. But it was definitely weeks. I think she says some on the train when she's first telling the story, she says it's been 4 weeks and 2 days, the most romantic time of my life.
Okay,
So
there you
then it
go.
goes on a bit more. So it's probably about 2 months, I think.
Yeah, so it's either way. Yeah, it's 1 to 2 months of which they're pretty much stationed together. They're going to be together pretty much every day, is what we see, or at least maybe every night or every other night or something. And just like, buddy, you suck.
Yes, this is the worst. You can't just swan off to England.
Yes, and the thing too, and I'm glad that they bring this up multiple times. I'll give the movie credit for that. Is he volunteered to go over there? He
Yeah.
voluntarily left them. He voluntarily left her. That was more important than her.
And then he tells his best friend that he was assigned there, right?
I think he did, and that's why when he comes back, I know when they fight at the luau at the bar that he calls him on. He's like, "You volunteered to
Yeah.
go over there. Like you left us. Like don't be fucking
Yeah.
mad," which is good because like. Oh my God, I wanted to fucking punch Rafe in that scene.
It's
To be like,
just frustrating. It's like you've got your best friend, you've got your girl now.
yeah.
Why you gotta be a hero?
So how, so that was shit. When did it say when he left? How long was he gone? I didn't think about that. How long did
A
they
few
think he was
months.
dead? It was a few months. Okay.
Few months, yeah, because whenever she first gets seen out for dinner or something with Danny. The girls are like, it's been months, you know, you can move on. Nobody would judge you for it. So I think
Yeah.
it's probably been
Okay.
like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. Well, he's over there. We had another newsreel here. The Luftwaffe, that is the German Air Force, and the RAF, the Royal Air Force. Let's get it on. Big
Ooh,
fight.
hoorah.
This is the Battle of Britain. This is after France got knocked out of the war. Britain was left alone. The Blitz of London and all that. And I know I've mentioned this before, but having gone to London last summer, seeing how many buildings and how many of these old like churches, like these medieval churches that I would go to, almost every single one of them says this was rebuilt because of the Blitz. This was rebuilt because of the Blitz. This was knocked down because of the Blitz. And to see like all over that still to this day that was there really just brings into that, oh yeah, that shit actually fucking happened. And as an American, you read about all this shit in Europe. And then when you're there, it's like, this is, it's so stupid. It sounds like I'm high and like just hit a
No,
bomb, but
I get it.
it's like, whoa, this is like a real place. This was
Yeah.
actually got bombed.
No, I think maybe the equivalent for, I can't speak for all people from the UK, but certainly for me, it would be like going to New York. And being like, wow, this is New York from the
Holy
movies, you
shit.
know, it's like a real
Yeah.
place. Yeah, so
I
that's my
almost.
equivalent, I think.
Ah, damn it. I meant to say Empire State Building and I almost said World Trade Center. I swear to God.
Oh my
If you
God,
go,
that's the World Trade Center.
if I go back and pull the video, you'll see me like start to talk and then be like, oh shit. And then pull back like, hey, that's the, whoa, whoops, whoops. Can't do that anymore. Can't say you see that anymore.
No, we don't.
No, I don't do that. All right. I'll tell you what though. All right. This is pre-director Ben Affleck, who I fucking love. I love this dude. I love him. I love that he doesn't take himself serious. I know he was shitty to Jennifer Garner, who, like,
In
I.
this film, this is where they
Oh,
met,
fuck, you're
apparently.
right. That's right. She's a nurse in there. Yes, they did. I know she, and again, maybe it wasn't, it hasn't come out. She's the one who like fucking took his ass. So many women like will take their partner or whatever to rehab when there's substance abuse and all that. And then they'll get over it, and then afterwards they'll be like, okay, I'm done with you. And
I'm gonna
that,
go get with my ex, Jennifer
yes,
Lopez.
he was, I don't think he was ever like abusive in that sense. I think it was just more, he was a fucking addict and substance abuse and all that. But I like that he doesn't take himself seriously. He does those stupid Dunkin' Donuts commercials, which make me laugh.
Does
I,
he? I haven't
oh,
seen
they're so
them.
fucking funny. There was a big Super Bowl one where him, Matt Damon,
Oh
and
my God.
like Ben Affleck is in there. They're rapping. Like Tom Brady's there in the fucking Boston again. And like he's Ben Affleck is so into this stupid Dunkin' song singing. And then Matt Damon's just like, I'm so sorry for this. Like he just doesn't want to do it. And afterwards he's like, okay, that's it. I don't owe you anything. That's the last fucking favor I'll do for you. It's just so good. Those two, I think, are just so funny, this Boston thing from like a Good Will Hunting. But he is rocking this goddamn uniform.
Oh, he looks so good.
Man, he
I was
looks
like, girl, I would
so
pick Rafe as
good.
well, girl. I understand.
Dude, he is clean shaven. He's got the cut, chiseled fucking jaw. This, oh man, this, a man in uniform, right? Like, ooh, these World War II uniforms, they peaked. And uniforms never got better than this.
I don't think they did. And there's something,
No.
as much as I do like a beard, there's something that looks really good on these older style films with a clean shaven
Yes.
jawline.
Yes. Well, if you got like the, yeah, you got the
You got
cut
to have the
in there.
jaw.
Yeah. I think I said earlier that he joined the, okay. I think I might have said earlier that they joined the Army for the Air Force. They are Navy pilots. I should say that. They're in the Navy. Like, this is a Navy installation. I think the Eagle Squadron would have been the Army because there was no United States Air Force at this time. That got established, I think, in 47. Like, there was the Army Air Corps and the Army Air Forces under the Army. And then the Navy had pilots as well. That's why afterwards they're like, yo, this kind of Air Force, this air is kind of a big thing. They need their own branch.
I see.
Yeah. So
Right.
now they're their
That
own,
makes sense.
now they're on separate branch, but like the Marines are under the Navy. So like Marine pilots and Navy pilots are like under the Navy, but the Marines are kind of separate. And they've been around since like before the United States, like during the Revolutionary War. So it gets all confusing as well. But are you ready for another line? And I kind of like this line. I kind of did. It was cheesy. As first I heard it, he said he's not anxious to die, just anxious to matter. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, you know what? I'll give it. I'll give it that. Okay. I'll give it
Yeah, that's
that.
kind
That's
of
a good one.
cold. I like that
Yeah.
one.
Yeah. And also, oh my God. Oh, that's right. Cause it was before. Cause he's like, get me to plane. Get me to plane. And like, oh, you're anxious to die. They show him his plane, and his plane has been shot to shit. The blood from the previous person is in there. And I'm like, God damn. Like,
Yeah, that's
that's
so
real.
grim.
That
That's so
is.
grim. Like they're like, yeah, this guy's dead. Get the next one in. You don't even have time to like clean it up or anything.
Well, that they
Just fuck him
would,
out.
yeah, they would like patch it up, and I think that's what they're saying is like to do it. They'll replace. You have to replace the glass, you know. They'll do all that. They'll patch up the holes, but it's like, yeah, if the plane got back and could be serviced, they're gonna give it to the next
Get it
person.
back out there.
Give it to the next person up, and you go up. So, but just seeing that, I think would be like a stark realization of, fuck, like you could fucking die. Like, you're gonna fly a plane in which the previous person was killed in.
Yeah, because they've just been kind of having fun in Hawaii up until this point, these American boys.
Yeah.
And they're just,
Fly
hanging out.
boys.
It doesn't, I don't think it really feels that real to them yet.
Yeah.
And then seeing that is a big, big moment.
Yeah. And I think there's a big thing too that they kind of had with him coming back. You know, they're like, holy shit, you fought the Luft, you fought the Germans. You were actually, you know, an actual combat pilot as opposed to them. It's all training and stunts, like that dumbass stunt they do at the beginning.
Oh, them playing chicken with each other.
God, we go right or left. My right or my left? I'm like, okay, I don't like these
So
guys. I don't
silly.
like them.
No,
Don't like
they're
it.
jocks.
Yeah. FDR, John Voight. This is President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the only president elected four times.
Wow.
It can never happen again because afterwards they actually put in the Constitution, president can only be elected twice. Before this time, it was just understood and an unofficial thing that you don't run for a third term. But a previous president did run for a third term. Teddy Roosevelt. So the
Oh.
only people to actually do this are two Roosevelt. He did not win it. He got shot. He got
Oh.
shot and then continued giving his speech.
Oh my God, what a badass.
Teddy Roosevelt, again, like,
Did he have a vest on or something?
I think he had like a speech and I think it kind of stopped it, but the bullet went like into him. Like they fished it out later, but I want to say that it got
Whoa.
blocked, I think, by his speech. But
That's
yeah,
amazing.
a Spanish-American War guy, big imperialist in that, but also big conservationist. Like all our national parks are largely because of like Teddy Roosevelt. So like
Wow.
they're good. You know, it was back when, I don't know. That's a whole
And
other
how
thing
are
to
they
get into.
related?
Second, third cousins, I think. They are
Oh,
related. They're
okay.
both
Not
New
like a
York.
father-son thing.
No. That was George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, and John Adams and John Quincy Adams are the only ones. And then you had Rutherford B. Hay no. Benjamin Harrison and William Henry Harrison, who were somehow related. And I think those are the only ones that got related in that sense. But
Interesting.
he was actually disabled in a wheelchair from polio that he got, I want to
Ah.
say, sometime in his early adulthood. I want to say it was like in the 20s, because he had run for vice president in, fuck, what year was that? Was that 19? I don't know. He'd run for vice president before, but he was elected in 1932. And he did not actually get up on his own, like later in this movie, to do that. But he was never photographed, like in, I'm sorry, he was photographed in it. He would never go in public in the wheelchair and sometimes on crutches. But I linked that video that we have in
Oh, I
Discord
didn't watch
of
it.
the actual speech. But what happened was, is everybody kind of knew about it, but to the public, it wasn't so that far known, you know?
Yeah.
And like in later on, when he says, talks about losing the use of his legs and all of that right there, he never fucking talked or mentioned his disability. Like it
Okay,
was
that's
never,
interesting.
it was never, no pun intended, but he was never going to use that as a crutch. Like he would
Yeah.
never bring that up to people. Apparently, he didn't talk about it with family or anybody. It was like he was
Okay.
never going to use that as like a reason. And I think maybe that's why it got bastardized into this terrible scene of
Yeah.
FDR like jimmying up in a cartoonish fashion to be like, don't tell me what cannot be done. John Voight is a terrible person. Like he's really like a big Trumper, big time. Like he's lost his fucking
Oh.
mind, but I fucking love him as an actor. And I'm telling you,
Yeah.
this portrayal, I kind of like it. I
Yeah, I
kind of
liked him in
like
this
it.
movie too. I thought he was good. Good president.
I thought he was. Now he's saying some cheesy ass shit afterwards, but god damn, I liked his performance, like as Roosevelt.
I loved his very small part that he plays in Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Is he your dad or something?
Yeah, he plays her dad,
Oh, okay.
but obviously he's Angelina Jolie's father.
Yes, that's
And
right.
yeah, and her, well, spoiler alert, Lara Croft's dad is dead.
What?
And yeah, Lara Croft's dad is dead, but he comes back in like a vision, and it's her dad, which I thought was quite cute.
A vision or like a dream?
It's like
It's like a
Lara Croft's really weird,
I'm gonna
so
start
like
calling
she
dreams visions. I'm gonna start
vision.
saying I had a vision of so and so. The people are like,
Everyone
that's
would be like, "What the
then be more
fuck?
mysterious. Oh yeah,
That's
that's one of those things you see where it's like normal dreams, mysterious vision.
yeah, concerning
Had a
a
vision.
vision."
Toxic, had a vision.
But yeah, I can't remember what happens, but Lara Croft gets really weird sometimes, and she basically has this opportunity where she could bring him back to life. And she like looks through something and she can speak to him in the afterlife and possibly bring him back. And he's like, "No, this is wrong.
This
Shut
is
it
wrong.
down." Yeah.
No. And she's like, hashtag stay toxic.
And she uses her best British accent.
Brits. Oh, yeah. There are times I kind of forget that she isn't British. I think when I
I
was younger, I
know.
thought she was.
I
Don't
did.
know why.
I was so shocked when I learned that she was American.
The American, Gone in 60 Seconds. Great movie she was
Ugh.
in. All right. So now we start seeing this Japanese buildup. And so this rising sun flag, this imperial Japanese flag with like
Ooh.
the off-center sun with like the rays.
It's
It
kind of badass, isn't
is
it?
a badass flag. But this in East Asia, like China and Korea especially, this is basically the swastika. And it is
Oh.
banned in China because of what they did. No, it's the same thing I'll talk about. Like, and that's a problem. I saw somebody actually on Reddit put this in. They're like, it was one of those like safe spaces to say whatever. And they're like, the swastika is visually appealing. And it
Kind of
is
cool.
because it's even and it's symmetrical and
Yeah.
it's in like an almost forward motion and it is very appealing. And some of their flags as well, like the eagle and all that. And it's just like, why did like the bad guys have such kind of
They get the
badass?
best
They
flags.
get the flags, but like the German like uniforms. Again, like I don't think they were designed by Hugo Boss, but they were made by Hugo Boss. And like Hitler specifically wanted them, like especially the SS and the high ranking, to look good. They were impractical. They were hot as shit. But it's like they were imposing and they looked fucking good. And
they
it's like
smart.
You never want to hand it to the Nazis or the Imperial Japanese, but, and that's where people cut me off. All they play is like, you don't want to hand it to the Nazis, but, and they're like, oh, they're going to get it. Yeah, this flag is fucking awesome.
I give them one thing. They
I
did.
Know it
They look good.
But
and all the bad guys, in like Star Wars, when they have their kind of Nazi looking bad guys, they always have really smart outfits too.
Yeah. They're pretty although they're kind of basic, aren't they?
Just black and red.
Yeah.
Very Targaryen.
Maybe some, that's true. They need to get more stylized as they get up. I'd like to see more. I like to see that more. I know, like with Knights of the Old Republic, the Jedi and the Sith, I should say, not the Jedi, but the Sith get more stylized with their masks and some of their capes. And I'm like, okay, we need more of that, Disney. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just have like the solid black and just like Vader, whatever. Like Vader's kind of basic. Yeah, he was imposing 40 years ago. That's old hat. Like get something new, get a new mask, get something in there. Like fucking Kylo Ren's mask, I thought was fucking awesome. It looked like Revan.
Yeah.
It looked like Revan, not Revan. No, it did. Yeah, Revan from Knights of the Old Republic. Looks a lot like it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think Giancarlo Esposito's character in Mandalorian. I think he looked kind of good.
Yeah, I think he did.
I can't remember now any exact outfits.
The dark saber.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, this is where we also see Isoroku Yamamoto. And then Tojo is there, the guy with the round glasses. That I think that's supposed to be Hideki Tojo, who's the prime minister of Japan. This was the main guy in charge. Like, it really wasn't the emperor. This is the guy. And he's the one who, after the war, would be convicted as a war criminal and hanged. Ultra, ultra nationalist, like the driving force behind Japan.
Wow, hanged. They still did that.
Oh, they did. Oh, they hanged the Germans like that crazy. Like the Soviets and the Nuremberg trials. You know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that's
nope.
where all the war crime trials came in, where the people who survived like were hanged. But like so many of Hitler's inner circle, we just don't know a lot of what happened with that because they all fucking killed themselves like
Yeah,
before. And
yeah.
especially the Japanese, so many of them, because like the dishonor thing where it's like you don't surrender. And if you're going to lose, not you just fucking commit seppuku or kill yourself somehow. And so a lot of them also just started mass suicides towards the end when they knew it was over.
Yeah, I do remember one of the lines that stayed with me from the end of the film is when the Japanese, I can't remember what character it was, but he says, they're saying, oh, it's been a great victory, like awesome. And he's like, well, I kind of fear we've just woken a sleeping beast.
Okay,
And I was like, oh,
I'm glad you brought that.
Cold.
I'm glad you brought that up because he never said that. It is
Yeah.
it is attributed to him primarily from, I think it was 1970s, Tora Tora Tora, a film about the attack of Pearl Harbor.
Oh, another one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been a bunch of them. But that was like the big one before this one. Like Tora 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 was a big one. And he says it in there. And there is no attribution to him saying that. The reason they did that was because, like I mentioned before, he understood that we were a manufacturing juggernaut waiting to happen. And he knew that once that didn't work, that they were fucking done. Like it was inevitable that the United States was going to defeat Japan. And what this largely did is this pushed up his attack at Midway, which was his final like thing was like, we have to go to Midway. All this tactics in there was knock out the fleet here. It was a fucking disaster. And then with that and the Battle of the Coral Sea, pretty much on the defensive. From like June of 42, the Japanese were damn near on the defensive.
Oof.
For like the next 3 years. Yeah, it wasn't like, it was kind of like Germany was like Stalingrad. They were on the defensive from like the end of 42, beginning of 43. And it was the same thing here. Like the last 2 years of the fucking war were basically like an inevitable conclusion and defeat. But they fucking dragged that shit out to May and August of 45.
Rim. That's so long.
It's so long. And then, oh my God, like the island hopping, the island fighting, like Guadalcanal, the Thin Red Line, Terrence Malick, that movie, Flags of Our Fathers, and Letters from Iwo Jima that Clint Eastwood did that showed like one movie was about the Americans fighting there, the other one was about the Japanese. And just kind of goes to show like, you want to talk about grim, horrific fighting. The fucking island hopping to the last man jungle shit was just awful.
I can't imagine. Like I think that's another thing. Like when I was watching the attack scene earlier, I was just like, I can't imagine this being your life. Like
Oh
it's
my
so,
God.
so horrific.
Oh dude. Yeah. And that, and again, when you get to like Vietnam, like the patrols, like they talked about, like we saw like in Forrest Gump, like One good thing was you just go out on a fucking patrol, and like at any moment, those trees are gonna could light you up. And then for hours, and then the next day, every day, just waiting, waiting. It's a psychological fucking nightmare.
Absolutely. And it's just, again, like it just, I think we talked about it in Forrest Gump, it's just the people that get sent to do that on the orders of some
Yeah.
arsehole. I
Well,
hate it.
especially like not to bring up the Vietnam thing, but especially there when it was a bunch of fucking 18, 19, 20-year-olds
Yeah.
drafted, like sent over
It's,
there, not even volunteers. And it's not
yeah.
like you got, like, it's one thing to be drafted in World War II where everybody wanted to do it because you got attacked and you were fighting
Yeah.
a clear enemy. In 1968, 1969, being dragged from your fucking home in Kansas to go to a Southeast Asian country you've never fucking heard of to go
Yeah.
kill farmers who are fighting their own civil war is fucking insane.
Yeah, it's so horrific.
Horrible. Yeah. All right. Well, I was about to say what's not horrific, and then I looked at my next line. All right, there's air raid siren in England, as
Oh
there's an
no,
attack.
this sound. I hate that sound. I don't know why
I
that
hate it,
sound
but
just
it's
gets me,
just
triggers me.
it does, but I love it because it, like, to me, it's danger. Like, everyone knows that
Yeah.
is danger. And when you play that and people are running, like, I feel instantly like there's tension. Did you see this little dog playing with the ball? Oh, there's a little, like, as they're running out of the building, there's this little dog, like, pushing a ball with his
Oh, he just
nose.
wants to
I know. And I'm like,
play.
why is that dog in here? Was that dog let loose? Did you see a dog later on one of the ships in
Yeah,
the
I
attack? The
did.
guy gets
Yeah,
shot and lets the dog go. And it's
just
just,
runs off. He
I
gets
know, but
caught later, though. Someone picks him up
yes.
later.
But for like, see, I don't know what it was, but like, for some reason, this is just like that little dog. It was like an innocence, but like, wasn't a kid. Like, if they put a little kid there, I think if they put a kid doing that, I'd be like, what a stupid fucking kid. Get that kid out of there. Or why are they just doing it? But for some reason, like, this dog just like rubbing this nose, like rubbing this ball with his nose. I'm just like, that's just such an innocence thing.
Yeah,
I don't
and
know.
they're
It hit
just
me.
so oblivious to what's
Yeah.
going on around them.
But it just goes back to like, yeah, these people should just be playing with a ball, playing with a dog with a ball. And it's like, no, they're fighting this fucking war because of this fucking shit going on. I don't know. That just really hit me.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. It's a good scene.
All right, Rafe gets shot down and he'd be so fucking dead. Like, holy shit. He
Oh my
he
God.
doesn't parachute out and
Nope.
he lands. Like, I would love to know how many pilots crash their airplane into the
Into the
ocean
fucking ocean.
without parachuting out and survive. Like, I'm not saying
Yeah.
it's not possible. I've never, everything I've looked up of people like surviving, I've seen multiple cases of people falling thousands of feet and surviving, but like literally somehow hitting something. I can't think I've ever seen a thing where like a World War II pilot crash landed a plane in the water and
Yeah.
survived.
And he gets an oil leak. He can't bail out. He's like shot loads of
Shooting,
holes in the
yeah.
glass. So that's filling up immediately. And it's just, yeah, I think it was at this point as well that I realized that this film was not Top Gun. Because I had it in my head that they were in a fight together and then Danny dies. And then I was like, wait.
Oh, okay.
I was
Yeah.
like, wait, how the fuck does
How does
Danny
he
come
die?
back
Yeah.
if he dies with Riff, or sorry, I was like, sorry, I got my
How
characters
does
mixed
Rafe
up.
die? Yeah.
I was thinking that it was Top Gun, you know, where Goose and Tom, what's it called?
Tom Cruise?
What is the, yeah, Tom Cruise.
Okay.
You know, where Tom Cruise and Goose go out on a fight and then his best mate dies in the fight.
I've never
And,
seen it.
oh, well, there you go.
But thank you for.
There you
Thank you for
go.
spoiling a 38-year-old movie. No, I think I saw Top Gun like in 1995, and I don't remember a goddamn thing about it except the beach volleyball scene
Oh,
because I was
nice.
awakened. No,
Well,
I'm sure a
I was
lot of people
thinking
were awakened.
that was this. So then but yeah, I was sat thinking, how can Rafe die and come back if Danny was involved in the fight with him? So that makes sense as to why it's not Top Gun.
Yeah, but it's one of
But he
those things,
dies,
though,
yeah.
where you can't have seen a preview or a trailer because all the previews in the trailer show him later on, like fighting during the battle. And it's just like,
Yeah.
we know he's not fucking dead. Like, don't. I know it's for the characters in that sense, but it's one of those where if it wasn't the top build character,
Yeah.
then maybe it might be like, oh man, maybe he did fucking dead. No, he's not fucking dead.
He's got great plot armor. There's
Yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
others, a lot of other scenarios in the later attack scene where he definitely should be dead, and everyone around him is dead,
Yeah,
but he's not.
and I know that's the point of following this character and not another character. It's because this one survives. I always do think when people say that, I'm like, I'm like, yeah, of course the main
It's
character that
his
we're
story.
following. Well, no, it's like, of course the main character we're following is going to survive to a certain point. That's why we're following them. If we were following another character, the movie would end at 42 minutes and we wouldn't know what happened. And so it's just like we're not following old Billy, the guy that it's a dud, boom. Or we're not
Oh,
following
yeah.
Betty the
The
nurse.
end.
Yeah. The end. All right. So this is also where we see Cuba Gooding Jr., who again canceled. That he's a cook. He is based on a real person. Actually, I think they actually call him here, Dory Miller. And to me, and I paused this in class and actually talked to the students. I'm like, after he shoots down that plane, I'm like, all right. So again, it's Hollywood, right? You know, a cook who's untrained grabs an anti-aircraft gun and just shoots down a plane. I was like, that's Hollywood, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, actually, no. I go, he
Oh,
actually fucking did this. And
wow.
officially, he shot down one plane, but him and multiple people are like, it was multiple planes. But I think it's because, again, because he's black and he's a cook. They're just like, ah, we'll give you one. He
Yeah.
got the Navy, oh, fuck, was the Navy Cross? I think it was called the Navy Cross that he got. He did not receive the Medal of Honor because no black soldiers during World War II received the Medal of Honor for obvious reasons of they were black and racist. And the people running the fucking Department of War and the Navy and all that didn't even want like black soldiers, period. Like in combat or at all. Like he was a cook. Like he couldn't be in there, which is again because it's the segregation, like that's what he would have to be. He would have to do it. But I also think it goes to show that this cook who's untrained operates this anti-aircraft gun and shoots down multiple planes. That's very bad for your racist white supremacist culture.
It is, yeah. If you require all this training, but someone who's a cook can literally pick up a gun
L
and do
Literally
it.
picks up an anti-aircraft. It's not like he picked up like a gun that anybody could have done. He gets on a fucking anti-aircraft gun, untrained, and
Like
shoots it.
mounted on his shoulders.
Yeah, and shoots it down. And it's like, yeah, this right here is going to be that. But something was validated because later on, as people are trying to, the military got desegregated, I think in 47 or 48 under Truman. This was largely why, was they pointed out to be like, look at this soldier. Look at the fucking Tuskegee Airmen. Look at the soldiers in Italy that are doing all of this, that are saving all this, they can fucking do it. And so, and then you get the whole juxtaposition of fighting for freedom, right? When
Yep.
they're literally Jim Crow, they are literally second-class citizens. Some of them are going to be lynched when they get back for like looking at white women, but they're fighting to rid the world of tyranny and oppression when this fucking country was
Yeah.
oppressed on its own.
That's why the draft felt extra bad in Forrest Gump, because, like you said, that poor man was drafted to go and fight for his country, and it's a country that doesn't even like accept him
No,
or give
they,
him rights.
yes. And to bring up, like you said, again, that's what drove me crazy about the Black Panther scene in that movie is they're just angry black people railing and railing. And one of the things he says in there is that, like, I'm not fucking going over. Muhammad Ali said it in reality. He's like, the Vietnamese farmer is not my enemy. It goes, I have more enemies here at home than I do there. And so, like, that's what drove me crazy about that scene was this guy's just perceived as this angry black militant when it's like, no, he's fucking right. Why
He's
the
so
fuck
right.
you're gonna go fight for this country and this imperialist country over there when you're a second-class citizen over here? Like, and that's the whole fucking thing that it's important to understand with history is this shit went on and on. Like, this is that ingrained white supremacy of this country that we're still not over.
It at the end of the film, he gets some kind of medal, doesn't he?
That's the
Would you
Navy
say it's
Cross, yeah.
that's the Navy Cross?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is I think it was the highest thing that the Navy can give out, but the Medal of Honor is the highest thing that Americans can get, period. And some of them did. I think Vernon Baker was the guy who got it in the 90s for fighting in Italy. So some of those wrongs, I was gonna say some of those rights were wronged. Oops, don't actually some of those rights, oh, they got to, some of those wrongs were righted 50 fucking years after the fact.
And it's still so recent in the whole grand scheme of things, isn't
Yeah. Yeah. And like, oh, I was going to say this later when talking about being at recent whatnot, the final survivor of the USS Arizona, and the USS Arizona is the one in this movie that gets lifted out of the air and broken in half.
it?
That's the one. And there's still the, I went to it as a baby. I don't remember it. That memorial is still there. So if you Google USS Memorial, you'll still see it and you can still shallow see the ship. And they have this huge
Wow.
memorial there. The final survivor of that died last week, 102 years
Oh,
old.
no way.
Yep. So now every single person that was on the Arizona is now gone.
Oh my God. Last week, that's
It was
crazy.
last, it was literally the day before I showed like the movie
Yeah.
and was watching it.
And
Yeah.
then at the end of the film, Kate Beckinsale says that there's people that are still entombed on the Arizona,
Oh yeah,
but
like
they were never able to retrieve their bodies.
no, and they bring up, I know FDR, like they say it later in the movie, like, are there still survivors? Like, yeah, we still hear tapping, but it's 40 feet underwater. We can't get it. No, and that was the thing, you know, and obviously after a while they get eaten, their fish, you know, food and all that. But that's why they made that a memorial, is you can still see it from the surface. And the whole point was, no, we're not gonna raise it because we're gonna
Yeah.
let, they're buried. They're entombed there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And
That was one of the most horrific scenes in the film, by the way.
oh, the
Whenever
drowning.
they're
Oh my
trying to
God.
like saw, I don't know what they're doing, trying to saw open the ship and the
Yeah. And the
hands are
hand.
just flailing
Oh.
around and then all of a sudden they just go limp.
I did
That's one of the
not
most
remember
horrible
that.
things I've
Yeah.
seen.
I did not remember that. That was brutal. Like, that was a
Yeah.
good touch to put in to really, because my biggest gripe was we spent so much time with these fucking insufferable main characters and caricatures of the soldiers and the nurses in this stupid ass love triangle that we didn't get to know the people that are getting actually killed in there. And I know it's supposed to be like, oh, they're Americans. But it's like, did we care about it? You know, it's just we didn't get to see it. So I don't know, maybe that missed me a little bit of the actual attack. It really only hit me, like you said right there, when it starts getting individualized. Like the one
Yeah.
guy holding the dog gets hit, or
Yeah.
the hands that we see, the name, the faceless, you know, hands that go limp, and it's just like, oh shit, now you've individualized it. Now you've made me feel something.
Yeah, I hated those bits. And what really struck me a lot about the scene as well is that some of them were like just still in towels because it was just, you know, first thing in the morning. So a lot of them are running up just still in their dressing gowns, towels, brushing their teeth. Like
Okay,
they have
now hold
no
up.
idea
I
what's
have a
going
problem with
on.
that.
You have a problem with it?
Okay. Air
Is it because I
sirens are
said
going
dressing
off.
gown?
No, we're getting attacked. We're getting attacked. The motherfucker with the toothbrush put
Yeah,
the
that's
goddamn
dumb.
t he is literally running outside, still brushing his teeth.
That feels
Like,
like Michael Bay
oh
comedy to
my
me.
God. And then later on, he's like cowering, still holding a toothbrush. Brother, lose the toothbrush. You're getting attacked. But I get
This
like
is
if.
serious.
But he's the fact that he's still brushing his teeth as he's
He's
looking
like,
around.
what?
I lost it. I saw it. I was like, no, hold up. I had to jump back. I'm like, that shit, get that shit out of here. It's a
Excuse
whoa,
me.
big call. All right. So yeah, pretty much they come back, they fight. Oh yeah, Rafe returns, everything's in there, they fight. And I don't know. You got anything more to that?
The fight scene.
Otherwise, we can just get to the attack. I mean, they get back and they kind of hash out their differences a little bit as they
Oh,
pass
Rafe and
out.
Danny.
Yeah, Rafe and Danny kind of hatch it out as they pass out
Yes.
overnights of December 6th, as the Japanese turn the page to December 7th. Don't, don't,
Oh.
don't, 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 don't. Okay. So to hit on this, while this was a surprise and a sneak, I should say this, while it was a sneak attack, this was not a full-on surprise. They really make it in this movie seem like, oh, I didn't know the Japs were so. I shouldn't say Japs. I'm sorry. He
They
says
say a
Japs.
lot in this
He
film,
says it, but
yeah.
again, we should not be saying that now.
No.
Yeah, he didn't know like the Japanese were sore at us, and they're just like, oh my God, this attack out of nowhere. That is false. The United States intelligence had known for months on months that an attack was imminent. Like we mentioned before, there was an oil embargo. We were absolutely animosity. Now, obviously, we didn't want to go to war in the sense of the United States. Populists did not want to go to war. There's no way that the U.S. could have gone to war preemptively. Like isolationism was too strong, especially after World War I, especially during the Depression that was still going on at this time. That right here, that there's just, it was not that big a surprise, I should say. It was not completely caught, like, oh my God, I can't believe we're being attacked. It was more like the
Yeah.
caught with the pants down. But one thing I did forget to look up was that they said they put all the battleship row was together because the torpedoes, it was too shallow for torpedoes. And the Japanese say they
Yes.
had like wooden fins. I did forget to look that up to see if that was accurate, though. I
Is
don't
that
know.
legit?
Yeah. If
Yeah.
somebody does, actually, I might look it up before, but if somebody does have anything on that, yeah, let us know in that because I don't know. But I do know they were all bunched together because it was like, ah, we're together. They can't attack, you know.
Yeah, they mentioned some reasoning earlier in the
Yeah.
film as to why they were put like that. And then I think it cuts to the Japanese saying, they're all together, the perfect target. I was like, no.
Yes, and there was actually a, I can't remember the name of it. There was a Japanese spy who was in Hawaii and who was sending information, taking pictures, and doing all this.
Yeah, that was, yeah, because they rang like a dentist or something, didn't they?
Yeah, and
to
I don't
get
know if it,
information.
yeah, and that the way they make it seem, and there was like dentist was like, who that was an internet, but there wasn't actually a person who was there going back and forth relaying information. And it's a big reason why FDR would do probably his most shameful thing, and that's Executive Order 9066, was the internment of Japanese Americans and citizens on the West Coast during the war.
What does that mean, internment?
That means we put them in concentration camps. Like, they're called internment camps because we're Americans and we don't have concentration camps. Now, they weren't death camps and they weren't labor camps, but these were American citizens taken from their homes, losing their businesses, and literally put in camps, in concentration camps, for the duration of this time. And the actor, Star Trek actor, George Takei, you ever heard, you know who that is?
Yeah.
He grew up in one.
Wow.
He grew up in a internment camp. And I do think that this, in the 1980s, there were some kind of reparations and an apology during the Reagan administration for it.
I did find that sad towards the end of the film where they're at the hospital and there's a Japanese doctor. I don't even know if he is Japanese, but he's Asian. And then the patient just shouting at him, just get away from me, get away from me. It's like, oh, that's sad.
And I'm telling you, and we all lived straight through it, 9/11. If you were Arab,
we did.
If you were had any kind of Arabic name after 9/11, like there were people absolutely murdered, lynched, and killed for having fucking Arabic names and right after 9/11. So that
just
shit
immediately became suspicious of them.
Well, just the ingrained racism of it. That to be like, and so that was something, you know, really bad. It's one thing to expel, like, I want to say like foreigners in that sense or guests or whatever. Like I said, these were American citizens, American born citizens that were interned. Like it's fucking bad. Like it was probably the worst thing maybe that Roosevelt did. Oh, all right. So they can't find these planes and all that. And again, the world before satellites is nuts. Something like this could never happen because of satellites and everything there. All right. So pretty much now we've kind of talked about a lot of the stuff that I had during the battle. Was there anything else during the battle, you know, that really came up?
I feel like we've talked about it as well. I wrote down that it's, you know, an hour and 40 minutes left of the film at this point. So there must be like 40 minutes pretty much of this attack. Everybody's still asleep, which I hated. I hated that it was like people were just waking up a bit hungover and they're so, what is the word? I was going to say discombobulated, but I guess just disorientated.
I was going to say also, that was a thing too, and I might actually backtrack and talk out of both sides of my mouth. A big reason why it was a surprise was it was a Sunday morning that the attack started, I think, at about 7:50, and there were two waves of it, and it ended at about 9. And I do think the third wave that was supposed to be attacked was actually called off because the surprise was over.
Yeah. I think I said earlier, I just cried through the whole thing. And I don't know, I watch action films and stuff all the time, but I think if Michael Bay does one thing really well, it's big action scenes like this.
Oh, yes.
And there's something about this film that is a lot slower. It's not quite like, you know, Transformers level of quick cuts and, you know, super fast dashing cameras. Like we could see a lot of what was happening. And I think what he does really well as well is like scale. So everything seems huge. Everything seems, you know, a complete disaster. There's hundreds and hundreds of people in some, you know, in one shot. Sometimes there's like hundreds of people falling off a ship or trying to help each other. And I just think it was really good. I think it was good that it was really long, like 40 minutes. I think it was good to like kind of go through the whole thing. And like, there wasn't loads of dialogue. Some characters had their little moments, but I don't know. I cried through the whole thing. I thought this is so, so horrific.
Yeah, no, it might be his best action, like large. Yeah. To compare this with Transformers is like a fucking joke. Like at Transformers, it's CGI'd absolute fucking nonsense, and you can't figure out what the fuck is happening. Maybe in the first one's a little bit there, but here, like following the torpedo, the first torpedo that hits as it goes under, or the dive bombing, again, to get that is just so good because, again, it's showing like, yeah, this was it. The dive bombing, this was it. They all had one torpedo they launched, and then it went to machine guns. I also think, to give Michael Bay credit, as racist as he can be or just as insensitive as he can be, I do think the Japanese were handled excellently. Like, it wasn't oh, we have to go kill these evil Americans and doing all that. They show them with their loved ones that they would have had. They show them praying, saying, I'm going to die for my country, the same way that a lot of American stuff like that would do, because that was basically the thing, was die for the empire was the best way to go out. And they're not like just mustache twirling villains. One thing I think that was really cool was, so the scenes of the Japanese planes taking off, it was an American carrier. And so I know a lot of people are just like, there's some modern American carriers were like in the background in there. So according to Michael Bay, this greatly offended some of the Pearl Harbor survivors who felt this dishonored the dead, like showing Japanese plane and American carrier. Bay, however, pointed out to the, that they destroyed all the Japanese carriers, so there's none left. And so an American carrier had to be used. And he said when he pointed that out, they all agreed to the use.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you blew them all up. You destroyed all of them. What am I supposed to do? And they're like, oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. Hoorah. I
Yeah, we
saw a
did.
really funny comment on one of the YouTube videos I watched where it's like Michael Bay somehow managed to offend the Japanese and the Americans
And
in this film.
that's the thing. Like, and I do think I'm a lot softer on this now than I was in 2001, because that was a big thing. And I'm wondering why. Like, I wonder what maybe has changed. Obviously, I'm older, but I wonder why, like, more people maybe would have been that way. Because I think it was just, was the offensive thing maybe that it was just around this bad love story that just didn't work, where something like Titanic, it actually worked.
I feel like maybe people went into it expecting more of it. Sorry, it to be like less focused around the love story.
Oh no, I did. Oh, completely.
Really?
Like,
You thought
if,
it?
and it's funny because I may put the, I don't know if the trailer will do it. I need to start watching the trailers before I actually edit the episode to put it in. But I remember the trailer, the theatrical trailer, like a year before. I just remember it was just the scene of the island, and then the planes go in, and it's just fucking Pearl Harbor. I'm like, holy shit, a movie about Pearl Harbor. And then, yes, you get bamboozled into this hour, over an hour of a love story. And then afterwards, this other thing where the Doolittle raid and all this other stuff. And like, again, maybe the love story would have been better if it wasn't just some corny ass cringe dialogue.
It is very cringe. I kind of like enjoyed some of it. Just, I think it was just the music in the background that I enjoyed, to be honest. That's what co catches me out. I think it's Hans Zimmer that did the music in this film.
I
And,
it yes, it was.
shall I check? Should I
No,
fact
I just
check
got it. It's
myself?
in. I just checked it. Yeah, no,
But
it's there.
yeah, some of the music was just very kind of romantic. That kind of got me.
Well, on the opposite end of that, or the opposite of the music, you're right. The music can make a movie, and I just kind of watched most of Bad Boys 3. And that's almost like as if a Michael Bay clone directed it, but one thing missing from that movie was the music. Like, the music just didn't hit me. In this, I should say this, I'm glad you brought it up. The music used in the build up to the attack, like when they're showing the Japanese, just the tension is so good, because it's not this horns, it's literally just a dun 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 dun. It's just slow and slow, and it is towards them just like, oh my God, like this, it's just a build, oh, this, we're gonna do all that, and then once that torpedo hits, all hell breaks loose, and then we go right into it.
I liked it, those moments as well, because you had the music and then you had people still just going about their regular morning activities, those who had woken up. And the planes are coming in, and obviously people are used to planes and everything flying around, so they don't really take much notice of them at first. And then more and more arrive, and you see
Yeah.
the red symbol.
It
Oh.
was cheesy as hell though that they pass like every bit of Americana. A woman hanging her laundry. Somehow it's 7:45 on a Sunday morning, like 20 kids are playing stickball, they're playing baseball, like all this
Just
Americana
regular
on
people.
their way. But another thing that I thought, and I don't even know what this, I thought maybe I've heard this before, or maybe just something from this movie. For some reason, I do remember hearing something about like Japanese pilots like waving away, like telling children and stuff like
Get
that to
out.
let go, which would be weird though, because they were never going to attack them. They were only going to attack the military installation. So I don't know if that was something put in, but that was weird putting that in, because the whole time is they haven't dehumanized the Japanese at all, which again, I thought was really good. But that was almost to be like, oh, okay, maybe they are showing it. But then they bomb the hospital, which goes against all of that. So,
Yeah,
like,
the hospital scene is where the Japanese lost for me.
yeah. You want to hear something that Japanese journalists were extremely offended by? Okay. Them showing the army having meeting outside because
I saw that.
apparently meeting outside is uncivilized and barbaric in Japan.
Barbaric to meet outside. That's so funny.
God. This one best film editing or best sound editing, I should say. So that's
Oh,
pretty
very
good.
good. Yeah. I think that's Michael Bay. Well, it's not his Oscar, but it's only his only film that's got an Oscar.
I get it. I'm kind of surprised maybe like a Transformers didn't sneak one of those in, like a visual
For
thing or
sound
something.
editing as
Like
well
a
in that, it's
nomination for sure.
amazing.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
I guess winning it would be it. All right. So yeah, the drowning scene, we spoke about that. All right, the war declared speech. And man, I don't know what it was, but from this point is what I watched this morning. Maybe I'm hungover. Maybe it's just all this in there. Like the speech here, man, it got me. It got me
Oh.
because the beginning of it is the actual words that he said. And like I said, I put that, I think it was like a 5-minute speech that the actual speech is there because, again, by this time, got cameras and all that. But it just did it. And I'm just saying, deliberately attacked. And a lot of this is made up in there. And then the other thing there about, though, like the righteous, I think he said the righteous, fuck, not wrath or something of the American people to absolute victory. He said that also.
Wow, that's pretty
Yeah.
badass.
No, this I thought was really good. And that's what I was going to bring up earlier. In that video, you can just see Roosevelt just standing at the podium. And obviously, because he didn't have the use of his legs, he was never going to move. And what he
Yeah.
would do standing up is he would grip it so fucking tight because obviously his upper body is going to be very strong because he had to do that for
Yeah.
everything. And so I think if you look, and again, I might be talking out of my ass, maybe, but I didn't look up there, he's never going to be gesturing. In this,
Yes.
he's going to just be speaking in that because he can't fucking move or he can't walk. And so it's one of those once the cameras, and this was understood by, he was a Democrat, by Republicans, and everybody was like, the cameras are off. Okay, we can do that. But once the cameras are on, no wheelchair, none of that.
I love that. It's a really good little, because I don't know that. I would never have noticed that in the film because I'm not familiar with this historical figure at all. But it's I like when they do little put stuff in like that.
I don't know if that's what it was in the movie. I don't think he's moving. I meant like the actual speech you can see that I linked
Oh,
in there.
in
If
the
you go
speech, I
Google the
see.
actual speech in there in front of everybody, like you can
Yeah.
just see that he's, he's very to the point in there. So yeah, so from this point on, this becomes Doolittle's raid and the raid over Tokyo.
This
And
is like a side quest. This felt like a DLC, extra downloadable content for Pearl Harbor. This should have been the sequel.
But it's like you said, the whole thing was we can't end on a downer. We can't end on
Yeah.
America winning. But in a weird way, it was way too long. This should have been the last 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And
To wrap it up.
it drags on even further with Danny getting killed, like to there.
Oh.
Like they just, I don't know. It, again, bloat, bloat, bloat. This should not have been this long. Oh, before I think we talked about it, the terrible scene of him standing up. We talked about that. Okay, whatever. Like horrible, horrible, horrible. Like. I just,
Yeah.
yeah, okay. So Doolittle raid. A big thing about this, actually, you know what I think was more offensive than FDR standing up on his own? The most cliche Doolittle, oh my God, of just, we're going on a dangerous mission. Look to the left of you, look to the right. You both be dead in here. It's going to be dangerous. Anybody brave enough, step forward. And then, whoo,
Everyone steps
shoot. And I'm like, okay,
forward.
Michael Bay, you're bringing, this is too
And
much.
then
I
they
hate it.
follow it with a classic Michael Bay shot of all of them slow motion walking out
Yes, I
onto the
just.
airfield, planes flying over above. It's like in
Dude.
this weird sepia tone, and everyone's screaming at the screen, going,
No,
"Hoorah,
you! USA! USA!
yeah!"
Yes. Oh, that was so much more offensive. But so Doolittle's raid was a real thing. They did bomb Tokyo. They did bomb some munitions factories, military factories there. Strategically, it did abso-fucking-lutely nothing. It wasn't even a scratch upon a scratch. But
Yeah.
psychologically, it really was massive in the home front because this was in April. So this was about 5 months after. In the ensuing months from that Pearl Harbor, from the Philippines everywhere, it's where you get the Bataan Death March coming up. It was loss after loss. Like the Japanese fucking were taking over all the American places over there, American-owned place, Philippines, all that. And so this right here was, holy shit, we bombed the capital. Like even I don't even think like Berlin was capable of like being bombed at the time. Maybe there was some going in there, but I don't think there fucking were in that because the British obviously had their own problems. Like at that time, like obviously Berlin would be bombed later, but at this point right now it's just Japanese victory after Japanese victory, and you wake up and you see holy shit, we bombed Tokyo, And so on the reverse of that, the Japanese, who again believed their emperor was a fucking god, almost like 300 last week, literally was like a god. The divine wind, like they kind of mentioned in here, the divine wind protecting, because a lot of that goes back to, I think, that fucking battle of Tsushima when the Mongols came in and the fucking wind swept them back out. And there's also another battle of Tsushima in the Russo-Japanese War that kind of would play into the midway later. But that right there was the opposite. So now the Japanese are like, wait, we're fucking taking over everything. We're the fucking master race over there. How is our capital being bombed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of unheard of as well, because I think I wrote this line. I really laughed out loud whenever he said this. He says, "Mr. President, I think we have an idea about how we can bomb the Japanese." I love that. I don't know why I find that so funny, but because they didn't have enough fuel, they didn't have enough like the proper planes. Like,
long
I think it was
range
totally
bombers,
unexpected. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess it was a little surprise attack of their own.
And I'll admit, I did not look up too much about this, if it was actually something new from the carriers, but they did go land in China. And I think some of the planes were shot down. I want to say, fuck, it was like, I think like 4, 6, 8 people might have died. Some were captured by the Japanese, some were executed. Some, I think one or two may have never been like again, like found, like recovered again once they went to like a Japanese POW. And I do kind of like though that they put in, what if we get captured? You know, and he just was like, don't get captured by the Japanese. Like,
don't
just
do it.
Don't do it. Like, even at that point, they're like, they knew what the fucking Japanese were doing in China, what they'd done to the British and especially the Australian soldiers that they were fighting over there. And he's like, I'll crash it into the, you know, best target
I
can
find.
That's how
I want to go out. Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, don't fucking surrender to the Japanese, especially at this point in the war. So yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And this also, I think I mentioned earlier, this caused Yamamoto to kind of push forward this attack on Midway, as well as to correspond with this Battle of Tsushima that was in 1905. And then Midway in fucking like June, I think is what it was, the beginning of June, was where the fucking turning point already happened. So 6 months after Pearl Harbor, we didn't know it at the time, but then we can kind of correlate to where, okay, Battle of the Coral Sea, Battle of Midway is when it started to turn already. But it wasn't a foregone conclusion. Like, they were still fucking strong.
Yeah, I feel like there's so, every time you mention something, I'm like, holy shit, I don't know anything.
Honestly, like a big
time
thing
in the world.
But that's the thing, like even teaching it now is there's so fucking much that to learn adequately about this, and just as just the battle, to learn about the home front, everything before, like you needed a whole fucking year to do it. And like one class,
properly study it.
And one class I took was World War II that really got into go into the nitty gritty of all this, where you got to read people's memoirs who fought, you know, at the Battle of Peleliu. That's with the old breed. That's what they based the HBO series Pacific off of. And so much of this, but even teaching it, like Midway's a thing in there, but it's like, yes, the Battle of Midway, turning point in the Pacific. Like that's all I can tell them, because that's all they're going to be really tested over, and you can't get into it. And then, you know, D-Day, Overlord, Stalingrad, you just have to take these big things and these big name people. And so, oh, that guy that said, Mr. President, I think we have a way to bomb it. I think that's Nimitz, Chester Nimitz.
Okay.
And so he would end up taking over the Kimmel, that guy that was in charge of Pearl Harbor.
Oh, I have a note about Kimmel.
He got demoted and Nimitz took it over.
Oh.
Chester Nimitz from?
Oh, I don't know.
Texas.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeehaw.
I forgot to fucking say it. How could I forget it? Doris Miller, Dory Miller from
Texas,
Waco, just south of here, about 40 miles or so.
Aww.
Yeah, Texas represent World War II. All right, what do you have about Admiral Husband Kimmel?
Kimmel, there's a moment in the film where his aide is delivering him some news, and he's literally just credited as Kimmel's aide, and he starts talking, and I swear my ears like perked up, and I was like, I know that voice. I know that voice. That's my husband. That is my husband's voice. And I Googled the actor, and he plays Caden Alenko in Mass Effect, my husband.
Real? Are you serious?
Yes. And I just, he delivers like one line. He's like, sorry, sir, we don't know what we're doing. And I was like, just the way he said that. And I clipped it because Disney allows you to screen record, and I put it on Twitter, and I've tagged him, and I'm going to hopefully see if he'll reply.
You are a Mass Effect stan.
I don't know what it was about his voice. I was like, that's got to be him. I know it's him. And he's acted in so much. His name is Raphael. And then I'm not actually sure how to pronounce this, but it's spelled S-B-A-R-G-E.
S-B-A-R-G.
Sparge.
S-A-R-G. Sparge. Yeah, interesting.
Like, how's this SB. I've never seen that before, but yeah, Raphael Sparge, who
Sparge.
plays Kimmel's aide in Pearl Harbor, and Caden Alenko in Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3.
I was wondering where you were going when you said it was my husband, and I was like, so who is this? Is it going to be like, yeah, I'm like, who is this going to be? Okay.
It's the character that I
The
romance
character. There you go. There you
in
go.
my video games.
That brings it back to make sense. All right. Yeah, so they end up bombing them. They crash in China. Rafe, I'm sorry, Danny gets killed. Rafe takes over. They do a bunch of other stuff that I'm pretty much it. That's pretty much all I got.
Have checked out of this film at this
Yeah,
point.
at that point, like he gets, they almost, it's not, he, they, I don't know, they had him on like the board. And it's like, what's this crucifixion imagery doing?
I have no idea
Like he
what
gets
that
shot and then he's
means.
just like, oh, he's like, dying. I'm like, why am I, why do you want me thinking of Christ?
Is he Jesus?
Is this sacrifice here for them? Is he Jesus?
They've lost me at this point, and I did think it was really horrific the way they were, just it was just relentless from the patrols taking them out, and then the planes go down, the people show up on foot. So yeah, I was glad when it was all over, to be honest.
Yeah, it's yeah, it was, it went on way too long. It's too much in there. But USA number one.
Well, I just. There was a moment earlier in the film as well where Danny goes, I think World War II just
Oh
started. And
my
I was like,
fucking, oh my
excuse
God.
me?
Oh dude, I slammed my goddamn table when that came on in the classroom. I hit the
Yeah.
table like, oh no. I'll take World War II. Oh my, I'd repressed that memory.
And then I'm pretty sure when Evelyn is delivering like the closing monologue, she's like, World War II began at Pearl Harbor. And I was like, girl, did
I
it?
think she said for us.
For us, okay.
I do think she differentiated
She was better than Danny, at least.
in the record books. It's just Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941 began. Oh, that's awesome. God,
Yeah,
that's
they're back
great.
together and they are raising Danny's child, who's called Danny.
Yeah, who's called
Yay.
Danny? Oh, and it's just the most Americana imagery as well at the end. Just in the,
Happy
yeah.
family.
I'm glad you brought that up because, like, World War II for the Japanese, for the most part, started like it was 1933, like when they invaded
Wow.
Manchuria and China. So, again, by the time they attacked Pearl Harbor, they'd been at war for like 9 fucking years.
Yeah, it's old news at this
Got to
point.
get that oil in there. Okay. But also, Pearl Harbor, sorry, not Pearl Harbor. There was something where, and Yamamoto, like, personally apologized for it. Sometime like 1937, the Japanese bombed and sank an American ship, like a military ship. And like four like oil tankers or something in the Yangtze River, and they like apologized for it. But after that's when like really amped up like aid to China, like the Chinese, because China was having a civil war between the nationalists and the communists, and they stopped fighting to fight each other. I'm sorry, they stopped fighting each other to fight the Japanese, and then once the Japanese were defeated, they went back to fighting each other. So it's just,
Just never ends.
it was very much like a. Yeah, it's very much like a movie thing. You'd be like, okay, you know, never like uniting, fighting together. You know what I mean? But still,
We'll ally for a bit.
kind of like a Soviet thing with like the Brits and you know, like that right there. All right, so yeah, I think that's it. Is that Pearl Harbor?
I think that's
I
Pearl Harbor.
almost said, is that Pearl Harbor 1941? No, this is Pearl Harbor 2000. Pearl Harbor 2001. In my mouse, I'm going to fucking rage and
Oh,
break this
God.
fucking mouse because I can't move it. Okay, there we go. All right. So here we go to the S. Well, I was going to say to the S tier rankings, to the tier list
No
ranking.
S tiers.
No, do you know what you have? Do you know what you're going to do?
Yeah, I
Okay, go
do.
ahead. Go ahead. Lead us off.
I would give this, actually, I don't. I was going to say a C
See? Okay.
because I do think it's worth a watch
Yeah.
because I think the action, sorry, not the action, the attack scene is worth watching, but I think you should watch the whole movie. I don't think you should just jump in and watch that 40 minutes. You can maybe finish, don't have to watch the last hour if you don't want to. Maybe just watch the first 2 hours and then watch the rest of it
So
if
Pearl Harbor,
you,
yeah,
yeah, just watch the first 2 hours. After that, you don't need to see the rest of it.
no, for sure. No, I agree. I got it as C also. Like I said, I showed it in class to show certain
Yeah.
things and bad things. Some of it's really good, like to get, like they
Yeah.
show Battleship Row, and I would pause it and be like, there it is right there. Just Google Earth, you know, put over with Battleship Row. That's where it was. You can kind of get a scale of what it is. I do think that stuff is very well. The action, again, I dare to say that it is Michael Bay's best action done.
Yeah.
Period. Like, I don't know what else would really be there. because
He's
it's
so
like a,
good at action,
yeah,
isn't
and he's
he?
also
Like,
never done battle. Like, it's the only time he's ever done
yes.
battles, and so that is good. Like, we the dialogue and the screenwriting and the screenplay of some of it is just obnoxiously and laughably bad.
Yeah.
And like, it was just not there with Braveheart, what he wrote, you know, like I just, and I don't know if, again, if that was like a Michael Bay thing where he wanted that shit, or if it's
I feel like
a
it
Bruckheimer
is a
thing for
Michael
this.
Bay thing.
I should say Bruckheimer. We have not mentioned Jerry Bruckheimer, which we should absolutely mention as the main producer behind
Yes.
like all of these. Like, the producer is a big thing, producer Bay. And so, yeah, we didn't see that in The Rock. So, and then with that, I don't know. But yeah, it's a C tier. It has its moments. It's too goddamn long, but I do
Oh.
think it would be worth, some things in there. So,
Yeah.
all right. That is it. Again, make sure rate, review. I was going to say rate, subscribe, but rate, review. I guess if you're listening to this and you haven't subscribed to the pod, go ahead and do that. Look at
Sure.
Patreon again, patreon.com/onthepath. Find Get Into the Creek, as well as some other things. See if we're gonna, it's supposed to be History Month, but that wasn't it. We just had a special one there, as well as all the links, everything below. Lucy, where can we find you?
You will find me at Lucy J. Robin on mainly like Twitch and YouTube and Twitter.
All right, find me on Discord next week. History Month marches on, and because it's gonna come out April 19th, Lexington and Concord Day, the beginning of the American Revolution. We're going to watch 2000's The Patriot.
And I have no idea what it's about.
This is Mel Gibson's The Patriot, not Steven Seagal's The Patriot. But yes,
Okay.
this will be a doozy, because whenever people say, a lot of people will say that Pearl Harbor is like the most inaccurate, historical movie or whatnot. And I'm like, Braveheart, but I know most about it. This one right here is what I would call an American Braveheart. Without looking
Okay.
at a thing like that, it has so much of it. He kills the shit out of British soldiers. It's oh my God. It's gonna be so. Jason Isaacs, I don't know if I mentioned on the air just to you, Jason Isaacs plays this amalgamation of Benashry Tarleton, and he is the most mustache twirling villain in his Jason Isaacs
I
voice.
can't wait to
God.
see
I
him.
cannot wait to rewatch this because it's so cringe. Oh my God. I just remembered something. Okay. It'll be great. It'll be great. I promise. We're going to shit on it. All that in there. But that'll be next week. Back with Mel Gibson, killing British people in The Patriots. Bye.
Woohoo, bye.
Let's see how long it's going to take me to be able to actually stop this recording.